Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Welcome back to Home But Not Alone. Today we're going to talk about toddlers. I recently challenged myself to spend a day in the life of a toddler. So I spent my entire day doing everything that my kiddos did, not just like watching them do what they did, but doing what they did, and especially focused on doing what my toddler did. So today I want to share with you what that day was like, what I learned, and maybe challenge you, we'll talk about this later, to take on this day in the life challenge as a practice in empathy and charity for your kiddos at whatever age they are. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. So
taking a drink, I say. Hey, Tim.
It's fine. You know, I love my history, and I love my Catholicism. And so I just got to tell you something that always bugs me that people get wrong about Catholic history. Okay. So that very popular prayer of St. Francis that is a song, and it's a prayer and all sorts of stuff.
Make me an instrument of peace, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I think those are the actual words, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm kidding. It's a very cool prayer. It was not written by St. Francis. I know. And that really, I've told people that, and you know, I know you've told people that, and it sometimes bugs people, but we got to get our history right, because if we don't, then we're just saying stuff. And I don't know, without knowing the foundation of what we're saying, then we just end up with talking points. And I don't know, it gives us less depth to our faith and to our living it out when we don't pursue some of this, or when we turn a blind eye to it. But here's the thing about this prayer. So I did a little research just to make sure I knew what I was talking about for once. And it was known as the Peace Prayer. And it first showed up in 1912 in a small spiritual magazine. It's in France. I'm not going to pronounce the French, but the English translation is the Little Bell. So okay. I don't know what bell was little, but it was a little bell. That's the Little Bell is the name of the Catholic publication. And it was published by a Catholic association. Again, English translation is the Holy Mass League. So it was founded in 1901 by this priest, and it originally had the title of A Beautiful Prayer to Say During Mass. And it was actually published anonymously, although there's a lot of speculation that the priest who founded the organization, and I think he was the editor of the magazine as well. I think it was a magazine, whatever type of publication it was. Yeah, spiritual magazine. It says it right in front of me. There's a lot of speculation that he is the one who wrote it, but that has never been confirmed. So it ended up, you know, making its rounds and getting translated in a bunch of different ways. And then eventually, gosh, where was it? It was in 1916 or 1920. I can't remember. It was sometime a few years later where it was the picture of St. Francis was put on the back of it, not to attribute it to St. Francis. I don't actually know why they put his picture on there. Maybe
like on a holy card or something.
Yeah, like on a holy card.
They prayer put on the one prayer side, on picture one on the side. Other.
Yeah, exactly. They did that. And I even found a couple of things that suggested that the first group to start saying it was the St. Francis prayer was a Protestant group. So it might not even have been a Catholic group that started to attribute it to. I'm not 100% sure on that, so don't quote me on that. But anyway, I just think that's interesting that so many of us, We know the St. Francis prayer, we've said it, we've sung it, any number of things, but that we don't know that it just wasn't written by St. Francis. It's a much more recent thing, only about 100 years old or so. So anyway, I think that's interesting. Maybe it's not, but I think it is. I lost the screen for a second. All right.
You're back.
I'm back. Okay. I don't see you, but there we are. Okay, sorry, technical glitches. Anyway, we're here to talk about toddlers. St. Francis was probably a toddler at one point. But that's anyway. So I thought it was really interesting when you when we talked about this topic and you said you were already considering doing this sort of thing with your kids, especially your toddler. And I think toddlers are fascinating to me. Like I think about like I watch my toddler and I'm like, oh, my gosh. How awesome would life be if we all ran like toddlers, just like with our arms flailing all over the place, legs flapping out, all kinds of weird, like that would be awesome. Or if instead of just sitting down on a couch, almost like an entitled king or queen, like I will now lower myself to this. What if we threw ourselves onto couches kind of like toddlers? I don't know. There's an enthusiasm that they require in their life. But I thought that was, I don't know, I thought this was a really interesting idea.
That's funny that you say that, because for me, I kind of always struggle with my toddlers and my preschoolers because I don't really understand them. Like my bigger kids, I can talk to them, I can reason them with them. If there's something wrong, like I can find out what it is. But my toddlers, it's like you're super duper happy, then all of a sudden you're lying on the floor screaming, and I don't know why. And so, and that kind of transition between the complete dependence of being a baby to growing into their independence as a bigger kid is just really tough for me to deal with as a parent. So my goal in thinking about doing this was just to enter into the life of these little children, these toddlers, these preschoolers that I don't really understand, and just kind of an exercise in empathy, like putting myself in their shoes and seeing what they're dealing with in their day, or just in charity, understanding them more, so that I can be a better parent to them.
Yeah, and I struggle more with a preschool age than I do a toddler age. I struggle with both, but I struggle more with the preschool age because I'd sit there and think, well, you know enough words now that you can tell me what's going on and might be choosing not to. Right. Whereas, you know, a child who's 18 months old, 2 years old, whatever they are, they might not yet have that ability to communicate as well. So I have a little bit more sympathy. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, you're a little bit of a crazy person. Okay. Like this is, you know, like I'm not entirely sure where you are. And unfortunately or fortunately, it's my job to then try and discern that. So let's talk about your actual day that you spent. So like, how did you prepare for this? Did you get things ready in advance for the day? Because obviously we have chaotic days. And we can't just, you know, especially if anybody wants to do this, we can't just say, well, we're going to behave exactly like a toddler or as much as like we can, you know. How'd you prep for the day?
Well, so the one thing that I really thought of was how much time I spend like preparing food for my kids and serving my kids food and cleaning up after they eat and washing the dishes. And knowing that I wanted to spend the whole day doing what they were doing, I didn't want to spend all that time preparing food and serving food and cleaning dishes. So I prepared some food ahead of time. Like I just made sure we had leftovers. I made sure we had easy breakfast. I made sure that we had something we could warm up real quick for dinner, so that I wasn't spending all this time prepping. And then I also washed the dishes ahead of time so that the sink was empty. So that way it wasn't going to be like 2 days worth of dishes to end up having to wash after this. And then I bought paper plates. We don't usually eat on paper plates. And I was like, okay, if I buy paper plates knowing that we're going to be eating at least 3 meals and I'm not going to be doing the dishes after, that'll save me from being up all night doing the dishes. Yeah. So I did that. I made sure I cleared the schedule. Like I had nothing on the schedule, you know, no appointments, no nothing I had to do. And then my husband, Chad, took the oldest kiddo out for the day so that it was just me and the 3 littler ones. So it wasn't like so many kids in the mix to try to do what all of them were doing. And then I made sure that I was in comfy clothes because I knew we were just going to be going, and I needed to be able, like, to move and do what my kids were doing.
And I'll tell you, I when you told me you were going to do this, I was thinking, well, I'll do the same thing, or at least I'll try my best. One, I did not do enough prep. Two, I ended up not feeling very well on the day, and so that completely killed the entire plan. I still tried, and I failed massively, but that's okay. but that was the first thing I noticed, forgetting about the fact that I didn't feel well. I did not prepare enough, and I suppose there's no way to ever fully prepare enough because you're still the parent. Like, you can't completely surrender and become the child again.
No. And that was part of what I had to balance, like, you know, being with the kids and doing what they did versus like being childish, you know, like still being the parent, but playing with my kids and engaging their activities versus just being childish and goofy. Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of that, what did you do throughout the day? Like, what did you actually do? Because that's one of the things I've been wondering.
I set my alarm to get up before the kids because I do get up before the kids every day and I pray. And I didn't want to go through a whole day like this without doing my morning prayer first. So I was like, all right, I'm going to set my alarm. I'm going to get up and pray. But then once the kids show up, when they get up in the morning and they show up, that's when I'll say, all right, pivot and spend the day with them. So food. It's like they eat a lot of food. It's crazy. One of the things I noticed is that I fed them breakfast and I gave them, you know, we put the food on the table, whatever we were having, and they didn't just sit and eat. It was like they take a bite and then they get up and run out onto the back porch and they're like, deers. And there were deers in the backyard. So I'm like, all right, you know, I take a bite of my breakfast and I gotta run out on the back porch and look at the deers. And then they run back to the table and everyone sits down again. We take another bite. And then they're like, oh, let's go ride the horse. And they jump up from the breakfast and they go sit over on the arm of the couch and everybody's like riding the horse. So I'm like, all right, I guess let's go ride the horse. So it was just interesting to me, like at the very beginning of the day, to notice like there was a lot of running. There was a lot of bouncing between activities and there wasn't a lot of like single-minded focus, not even on our food, like not even on our breakfast. So it's kind of like bouncing from here to there. By the time we hit 8 o'clock, I was so tired from all the running. Like they were running from the table to the couch, up the stairs, down the stairs.
8 a.m. or
8 a.m. Yeah, I was like, this is gonna be a long day. I am so tired. I didn't realize these kids like wake up and they're already like constantly running back and forth and all around. So yeah.
So
go ahead.
Did you find that doing these activities with them, they seem to have more fun? Did it turn into a discipline issue where they were almost encouraged to be extra crazy, or, you know, how was that?
It was actually interesting because we did a lot of things. Like I said, we ran around, we play pretend. I read them a lot of books, you know, a lot of building blocks, and I could talk about some more other things that we did, but I feel like there was less of a discipline issue with me, being with them, like constantly with them and engaged in what they were doing. Okay. There wasn't as much of a discipline issue. They were very interested in me being involved in their activities. And one of the things that I noticed is that my toddler kept asking me, like, are you going to come downstairs and play hunting bears with us? Are you going to read me books? Like, he really was like, saw that I was being involved, and even in his little two-year-old brain recognized that and like kept asking me, you doing this with us now? You doing that with us now all day? It was just really interesting to see that like receptivity to me being there and doing what they were doing. But yeah, there wasn't really any fighting or sibling arguments all day, which I found very interesting and definitely something that I want to keep in mind, that just by being involved in their activities and their play, kind of, and I mean, maybe it was just a fluke because of that one day. And I don't know, I want to maybe do this more for a period of time each day or once in a while to see if the more involvement I have in their activities really does correlate to less fighting and discipline issues.
Yeah, it's occurred to me several times over the last couple of years that I hear a lot of parents talk about, like, oh my gosh, I have dishes to do, I have laundry to do, I have all of these things to do. And it's always struck me as, at least from my experience, That's the easy stuff because it's just, you just do it and you're finished. You do some dishes, then, you know, you're finished until there's more dishes to do later. But the reason why doing those things can be difficult is because the children need us. We are parents before we are housekeepers. You know, it's not that we are just here to clean our houses and take care of all the stuff. We're here to raise our children. And there's a catechetical aspect to that. There's a catechesis aspect to that, in that we are there to teach them and help them grow, not just in the faith area, but And so that, anyway, that's always struck me, is that I think maybe the reason why so many parents struggle with getting these house related things done is because the bigger job and the one that constantly needs our attention is the caring for the children. Because again, I can't tell you how many times I've had the thought, boy, it'd be really easy to get all this stuff done and, you know, whatever, if the kids weren't around. If I was, you know, the housekeeping job, that's easy. Cooking, not a problem. Raising children, whoo, that's difficult. And kind of ripples out and makes the other things more difficult. So,
well, and that was another thing I was thinking about as I prepped for this day. And I do want to go back to, there were some very interesting things that we did. I want to go back to that in a minute. But as I prepped for this day, and then I was able to spend that entire day doing what my kids were doing. Like, they had food, they had clothes to wear. You know, the house was more or less clean. There was a place for them to play. It just got me thinking, like, what really is stopping me from spending time with my kids? There's always going to be dishes. There's always going to be laundry. There's always going to be more things that I can tidy up around the house. Like, that checklist is not going to end. That to-do list is not going to end. But the kids are going to move through their life and grow up. And I don't want to be like a downer, but my oldest is 9 years old. And when he turned 9, I was like, oh my goodness, he's halfway to adulthood. And it was just...
He's halfway to
realization. Like, we're halfway there. So what's stopping me from spending the time I have with my kids when I could? Like, I showed myself that I very well could prepare myself to spend a day with the kids. Like, I was actually able to do this, to whatever the sacrifice was, stay up a little late doing the dishes and making sure the laundry was taken care of and buying the paper plates. I made this possible. So it really made me look at myself and see, like, these are actual choices that I'm making to prioritize chores over spending time with my kids. And I can change that.
Yeah. Keep in mind that your child is halfway to legal adulthood.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he's not going to need mama. At that point, he will.
Right.
There is definitely going to be a need. That's at least that is my experience. Is that, as a child, that is my experience. Is just because I hit 18 doesn't mean that I am ready for adulting, as they so call it.
we millennials know that one well.
Oh, we sure do. What? Go ahead.
Yeah, so other things we did in the morning, we did some drawing, we had Legos and Duplo blocks, we sat around and did some building, we laid
you
out.
You have Legos and Duplo blocks?
Yeah.
Are those allowed in the same house? I feel like those are mortal
Duplo
enemies.
Duplo is a Lego brand.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's not like the Mega Blocks. Mega Blocks is not allowed in this house.
But really?
The Duplos are the big ones. And they're made by Lego, and the Legos are the little ones.
I
so we have
know
Duplos
Lego
for
made.
My little guys and Legos for my big kids.
You know, they're not called Legos with an S. They're called Lego blocks. Yeah, I knew a guy who worked at a Lego store. He was very particular about that. And I thought, you need a hobby and not a Lego-related hobby. Sorry, go ahead. That's
laid in a sunbeam. We went outside and rode our bikes. And this was another thing, like, I'll go outside with my kids all the time when they're riding their bikes, but I'll sit down in a lawn chair and I'll watch them ride their bikes. Mm-hmm. So they were like, we're going to go ride our bikes. And so I took down my bike and I got on my bike and I rode my bike around the driveway and like around the yard back and forth with them. And it was just a different dynamic playing with them and riding around with them than sitting there and watching them. We were outside. They had the can jam. They took the can jam out. Those are like the Frisbee buckets that you throw the Frisbee into.
Oh, okay.
And it was so funny. They were it's fall, so the leaves are falling. So they're scooping up the leaves, and then the Frisbee buckets were their trash and recycle bin. Like, there was a lot of pretend play. Like, there's a story behind everything in the life of these toddlers and preschoolers. It's not just that they're filling a bucket with leaves. It's that this is the trash, and this is the recycles, and this is my job, and we have to work faster. Come on, you have to get all these leaves in there. So there's a story behind everything, and that was something that really hit me too. That it's not just the physical activity, but their imaginations are constantly going, and it's really involved this kind of imaginative life that they're living. It's not what it looks like when I'm looking at them across the room. Like, there's a whole world that's happening inside their brain. So we ate lunch at noon, and then by 1 o'clock we did some more outside playing, and then 2 o'clock my toddler goes, "Can I have a sleep in your bed?" And I was so tired from all this running and biking and jumping and playing and imagining. I was like, yes, please. So the girls went out and like played in the woods in the back or whatever. And the toddler and I climbed into bed and took a nap. Like, I took an actual nap in the middle of the day. And it was so refreshing. And it just kind of hit me that, yeah, this is why he's tired and cranky by the end of the day when he doesn't get a nap, because I needed a nap in the middle of the day from following him around. I was going to be tired and cranky. I could have kept my eyes open. So we took a nap. And then the one time where I kind of veered off the activities and did something different from my toddler is my girls came and woke me up from the nap, and he kept sleeping. So I got up and prepared a snack and left him sleeping for like half an hour or whatever before I woke him up. So that was the one little like time where I, okay, you keep sleeping and I'm going to make a snack. Then after that, my kids wanted to paint, which was really nice because I love art. I love painting. So I let them pull out the paints and we just all painted together at the kitchen table. And then it was by then, it's the end of the day. We ate dinner. The kids wanted to take a foot bath. So we filled up the tub and everybody took a foot bath. And we said sure. The rosary and watched a movie, which was another really good thing because I was tired and didn't want to like play games or something at the end of the day. I just wanted to sit there, and then everybody went off to bed.
Ooh. Okay. So that sounds crazy.
It's crazy.
What did you learn from this? Because that's what I've really been wanting to know this yes. whole time is like, what did you get out of this? How do you have a different view on your children on how, I mean, you mentioned the idea yeah. of all the creativity and the minds constantly running, and you know, there's a point to everything, yeah. even if it doesn't seem like it.
I learned a few things, and I mentioned some of them already, but I just want to go through them again. Number one, being a toddler is exhausting. They need a nap, or they're going to be cranky. I needed a nap, or I was going to be cranky. There's always a story or a game. Life is about play, and it's really actually an exciting world they live in if you enter into it. Like I mentioned, that spending time with my kids may possibly correlate to fewer tantrums and discipline problems. I want to explore that more, keep that in mind, try to be intentional about giving my time and my attention to my kids. Your toddler just wants to be with you. Like, they just want your attention. And I could tell he absolutely loved it. My 2-year-old, just the way that I was pretending with him, you know, running up and down the stairs, riding the pretend horse on the arm of the couch or whatever. He absolutely loved that I was looking at him and entering into his story and being with him. I learned that paper plates are worth it sometimes to be able to spend the time with the kids. We don't have a dishwasher, so I spend easily like 2 to 3 hours a day washing dishes. Oof. And that's a lot. I mean, there's like distractions. The kids need me. I have to do something else. I run out of hot water. I have to take a break. But like from beginning to end, probably 2 to 3 hours of my afternoon is spent washing dishes. So I was thinking maybe I want to buy paper plates on Sunday so that I can have more time with my family, you know, make Sunday the Lord's Day, make Sunday holy, because paper plates really allowed me to spend more time with my kids on the day I did this. I learned that toddlers take their pants all the way off to sit on the toilet.
You okay? Hold on. First of all, you didn't already know that?
Well, I'm not really potty training him yet, and it's been a while since I've potty trained any of the other ones. And I
Fair
think
enough.
My girls were a little bit more polite than my boys as far as potty training goes. But just kind of paying close attention to him, I go in there and he sits on it, takes his pants all the way up. I was like, okay, like that's what you do. That's great. I just think it made me more aware of the little things that my kids do. And I want to know about the little things. Like, for example, another one, my toddler likes to ring the doorbell when he comes through the front door. And so I just kind of following him around, like, okay, we go through the front door, we ring the doorbell. That's what we do. It's just interesting to learn those little things about the personality of each of your kids when you spend that time being intentional, you know, about entering into their life.
Ooh, even this conversation has me like mentally thinking as opposed to regular thinking, has me thinking about all of these things like, okay, where can I, you know, how can I spend more direct time with my kids as opposed to indirect time? Or how many things can I put down more often or prepare in advance? And I know there's that old cliche about, well, you know, oh, well, do meal prep the night before, do the, you know, clean the house the night before, you know. Well, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah. Right.
And you can't do that constantly. You have to care for the kids at some point, in those, or meeting those specific needs, I should say.
Right.
But yeah, it's got me really starting to think, okay, yeah, where can I change this, tweak that, cut there, give a little bit more, you know. Anyway, you've really got me thinking, and that's good.
Well, yeah, so dangerous. I'd love to talk about that, because I do want to extend this challenge to others, and like that's kind of what I wanted to close this episode with. You know, like I did these things with my kids, I learned this, but everybody, all your kids are different. Your kids are different from my kids. You might not have toddlers, you might have teens, you might have elementary school kids. I think that you really can do this whatever age your kids are. And I think there's so much to learn. So I think the first thing to do is just pick a day and pick a time frame. Like, I set aside an entire day because I could, but not everybody can do that. So maybe pick an hour or an afternoon or just a couple hours in the morning, once a week or once a month even is a good start, or just once, like just try it once just and
once.
See how it goes. But pick a day, pick a time frame, and then prepare yourself. Really dedicate yourself to giving that entire time and attention to being with your kid and entering into their world. And so, like, I felt the temptation to be like, okay, now that they're eating lunch, I'm going to run around and like clean up and do the chores. But I just kind of intentionally let those things go. So know what kind of prep you have in mind that would make it easier. But I mean, there were probably more things that I could have done that I didn't. And it's like, you have to find that balance. Prep a little bit so that it'll allow you to enter into the time, but don't like think that you're going to be having the perfect day and you're going to end the day like with no mess or whatever. So a little bit of prep, but find that balance. And then just give your time and attention to being with your kids, doing what they do, not just like watching them play, but playing with them. And I don't know, I would say just dive in, you know, go for it. Embrace this as part of your vocation, as like learning about your kids so that you know better who they are, what they need from you, and you can just relate to them more. And I think that it would be like really helpful kind of discovery and empathy exercise, so that you can be a more effective parent to your kids.
I just have to ask real quick, was your house a complete disaster at the end of the day? A moderate disaster? It wasn't terrible? Like, where was it?
Well, it was actually, so this is another thing that I was thinking of, is we were playing blocks like Duplo or whatever, and I'm right there with them. So when they're like, hey, let's go outside and ride your bikes, I'm right there with them to say, oh, hey, like, let's throw these Duplos back in the bucket first. So I didn't like completely enter into, like I said, the childishness of being a child, like completely leaving the mess and running off. I still maintained my role as a parent, and actually being there with them in their playtime made cleanup more effective, because because, okay, we put the Duplos away when we were done. We put the bikes away when we were done. So it was kind of strange for me that at the end of the day, I did feel like my house was more in order than at the end of a normal day, because I was with the kids at the end of each playtime to encourage them to set things in order before going back. But I know that wouldn't be the same dynamic in every family and in every situation, but it's just kind of how it worked out for us.
No, yeah. Well, and I wanted to bring that up because I thought there's got to be somebody listening or watching who's thinking, yeah, I'm not going to do this. My house will definitely be just a complete wasteland by the end of the day. So the fact that yours wasn't, I think, gives me and hopefully some of you all who are listening and watching some hope.
So my kids are asking for me to do it again. They said, can you spend another day just kind of playing with us and doing what we do? So I definitely want to. I just want to say, you know, parents out there, all of you, your kids, just, they love you. They want you to be not just in their life, not just around them, but a part of their life. Like, they want you to enter into it. And they want, you know, the kids, like, they're so attached to us. They feel like they're a part of us. So I would challenge you, enter into their world. It's fun, it's beautiful, it's amazing, and it can help you build that bond that will carry through their entire lifetime.
All right. Well, first of all, Sarah, thank you for doing that and for showing us it was actually possible. Also want to thank everybody for listening and watching. Please subscribe to this podcast, leave reviews and ratings and comments and likes and all of these things that help us get the algorithm working in our favor. Sarah, where can people find you?
ToJesusSincerely.com and on social media at ToJesusSincerely.
And you can find me at ChastedLove.org and on Instagram and Facebook at TheChastedLove. Now, if you ever get bored, pretend you're a scientist testing a theory, you know, like the theory of Pavlov's dog, and sing the first line of any song your kids know, and they'll singing the rest of it out of pure habit. You'll feel like a science genius. And remember, you're never alone. Thank you.